Welcome to the Cup of Joy Testimonies, where the views expressed are not necessarily those of Cup of Joy or our partners. And today, on the Cup of Joy. Each one of us has a story that we'd like to share or tell from time to time about how we've come through things, how we've succeeded. And for those of us who haven't experienced, for example, joy, those of us who experience joy like to share our story about how we come, how we have come to experience it, and some of the neat things that we've gone through to get there.
Greetings, my name is Steve, and today on the Cup of Joy, I'm going to be turning the tables because I have invited someone to interview me rather than me being the interviewer. So this is going to be a very, very interesting interview. Today, we're going to discuss what, without a doubt, was a life and death crisis in my life. It involved my being admitted to a hospital in grave condition with an illness that baffled the medical professionals. And as I descended towards the possibility of death, only 11th hour intervention saved my life. Listen as Zach Miller conducts this interview of this season of my life.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cup of Joy podcast. I have the pleasure and privilege of being able to guest host for Steve today, and he's going to share a little bit of a story, just an incredible story that he's prepared to share about a season in his life that really was a hanging in the balance kind of moment, and how God intervened and stepped into his situation and just proved himself to be faithful. So I have Steve here with me, and Steve, this story you're going to share is really overcoming what was probably certain death, if we're being honest, and it was from an acute kidney injury and something called CKD. And so for those of us who don't know what that is, don't know the acronym, can you share a little bit about what CKD is and what it was that you were struggling with in this season of life?
Well, CKD stands for chronic kidney disease. And what that is, it's really a problem of the kidneys being able to filter out the blood properly. And when that happens, when you're in, let's say, a stage four kidney, which is as bad as it gets, your body ends up shutting down and you can face death from that.
Wow. And I know there's a filtering that goes on in the body and taking care of, whatever may be going on in the bloodstream. And so can you kind of give us a little bit of an understanding of what that's like and what's considered probably normal and where your situation was at and what you were dealing with?
Well, what is normal for me is probably, because I do have kidney disease right now, and I would say my functioning is probably at about 53%, which is okay. I can live with that. I would say, Zach, if as a younger person, you're probably functioning at about 90%. So if somebody has both kidneys, 90% is super, that would be normal. But for me, much lower than that, I would have what is called stage four, which is about just above stage four, which is 53%. That's actually stage three.
Wow. And I think just hearing that, obviously, and knowing those statistics makes you thankful for a filter, whether you knew you had it or not. But obviously, this created a complicated situation. And from your story, you nearly died of this. And so, to the point of death, right?
Right. So what was happening is that I have the chronic kidney disease, and in March of 2015, I had started to show some symptoms of having a lot of lethargy that was not normal, even for somebody who was at the stage that I was at. And I remember Pat and I, my wife, would go for walks, and we would try to keep up with each other. Mm-hmm. She's usually a little bit of a faster walker than I am. I couldn't keep up with her anymore. I had shortness of breath, and I would go out to try to mow the lawn. I couldn't mow the lawn. I started drinking a lot of water, more than I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to be drinking, you know, a liter or two of water a day in order to keep my kidneys flushing out properly. I started drinking these big, I don't know if you would call a Slurpee, a big, you know, type of glass that you get at the 7-Eleven.
Sure.
But I started drinking probably three of those an hour as my kidneys began to shut down. And that's what I found out at the time, was that my kidneys were shutting down.
Yeah, and I don't know. My wife always tells me I need to drink more water, but obviously the amount of water you were drinking was, it sounds like it was pretty alarming, and it was obviously creating a cause for concern around your kidneys and the situation just regarding shortness of breath, and the symptoms were beginning to show. And so you had been facing this for probably a couple of years at this point. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say that I had the chronic kidney disease now for probably about 4 or 5 years. But it was after about that time that I started to go into rapid decline really fast and had these symptoms set in.
Wow. And it's amazing. Sometimes we don't always know what might be going on within the body in seasons where it seems like everything is good and life is good. And then all of a sudden, some of these things start showing up. And so life up until that point had been pretty good and there wasn't a whole lot of complications. But of course, in some of these things setting in, it had changed and turned some things for the worst. And I know you mentioned the dehydration situation and how that had been setting in. Can you kind of tell us a little bit of why that was going on and how that was really attached to the kidney disease or the CKD that had been going on as a whole?
Well, the dehydration started to send the kidneys into a downward spiral, really. They were rapidly declining at a rate much faster. I mean, taking months rather than years. It's not unusual for kidneys to go into decline after time once you have CKD, but this was something that was happening within just, say, 30 days or 40 days. And in addition to the lethargy now, and not being able to keep up with Pat on the walks and things like that, is that I began to experience some things in my thinking that were awry. And one day I went down to sit at my computer and went to the keyboard to begin to work like I usually did, and I couldn't make out my keyboard. I couldn't make out the keys. And I mentioned it to my wife, Pat, and of course she said, you better call the doctor right away. And so I did, and he suggested, he was concerned that I may be having mini strokes and told me to go to the ER right away to be checked out.
Clearly struggling, functioning just in a daily level type of way was obviously becoming incredibly difficult. And so I'm sure in your struggling, it began to start some testing. And so you were taking these battery of tests to kind of discover what this was. Within the test, what were some of the things that were being done and what were they hoping to, I guess, attempt to discover to help you ultimately as you were kind of unclear as to what this was all going on?
Well, the thing that I remember the most is that they had some picture cards with different little characters on them. And keep in mind that I was dehydrating. I was drinking probably a liter every 15 minutes because I was dehydrating so bad. And when I went into the hospital and they took me in a wheelchair, my doctor said, who happened to be in the ER at the time, who turned out to be my kidney doctor, he said he was surprised that I was still able to walk in under my own power. So they put me in the wheelchair, took me into a room with all these specialists, and showed me these cards of characters. And I was able to identify most of them because they would say, well, what is this one? And I would say tree, and I was correct. What is this one? It's such and such, and I was correct. And here I am in this dehydration. And I came to the last picture that I could not identify, and it was a cactus.
Which a cactus could be hard to identify because, you know, living where we live, we don't see very many of those. But yeah, so all this is going on, right? And I'm sure, you know, there's obviously some concern settling in and just trying to really discover this. And this is all kind of going on in real time as things are occurring with your kidneys and days are going by. And can you kind of just give us a timeline of all of what was going on? Because it really speaks, I think, to God's provision ultimately for you and your life in regards to this whole situation in particular.
Well, keep in mind that the kidneys started to shut down seriously 60 days before, then 30 days before, and keep getting worse. And then within weeks, I ended up in the hospital. And I was almost to the point where I was going to be in a coma because my kidneys and now my brain started to dehydrate. And I remember finally going up to my room and talking to my doctor about it. And they weren't sure what it was. And it took them days and more days and more days to figure out what it was. And it was on the fifth day that he finally figured out what it was. I asked him, well, am I doing better? Because I had been talking to him the night before. And he couldn't make sense out of what I was saying because my brain was so dehydrated. And I asked him, well, how am I doing now? And he said, well, you're asking more appropriate questions. And I thought that was kind of funny. But the thing that wasn't so funny is that my kidneys were now at a 23% functioning level and going down. And without them knowing what it was that was causing them to decline so rapidly, it was really a foot race against time. And so what ended up happening is they did a series of tests and more tests, and then they found out that I had another disease called sarcoidosis. And that's that was the thing that was causing my kidneys to shut down.
Wow. And so obviously we're racing against the clock here. Things become very different when we realize how much life feels like it's on the line. And so I know there wasn't, in discovering what was going on, there wasn't a whole lot of plans as far as remedy to figure it out. And so can you share a little bit about what they came to the conclusion to do to obviously save your life as it's hanging in the balance, so to say?
Well, I think the neat thing out of this whole thing that I learned is that God is there at the 11th hour. And I remember pastors from Poplar Creek coming up to visit me. I remember how we had church in my room and we were getting so loud praising God that I had to close the door after all the visiting hours were passed. And we just prayed that God would provide the wisdom to the doctors that were needed. And then it was in the next day or so that the doctor came in and he said, I think we know what it is. And I think the thing that is going to be able to put down the sarcoidosis and revive your kidneys is a steroid, a little bit of steroid that I think I'm going to give you, and hopefully it'll cause you to bounce back. There's no guarantee, but if you do bounce back, it's going to take days in order for it to happen. It'll be weeks of recovery to get back to normal. And I asked him, is there a plan B? Is there something else that we can turn to if the steroid doesn't work? And he said, no, there isn't. It's really our only chance, and there isn't a plan B.
Wow, that's a lot to absorb and take in. And so it's interesting, though, how now oftentimes we don't necessarily always fully attribute the importance of the spiritual practices that exist in the midst of the situational things that occur. And so the fact that there is power in prayer and in praise, and even in the midst of not knowing what the ultimate conclusion was going to be, still finding joy and finding the Lord in those situations, and how God can even move on those who weren't present in the room with you while you were still thanking God for what he could do, and how that was all moving over. And so obviously, you know, in that moment, there maybe wasn't much hope, but here we are today, right? And obviously, God's done some really great things and has provided in tremendous ways, probably more supernaturally than could have ever been thought, asked, or imagined. So just share a little bit of an update with us about what God has done since that season and how that has affected just even moving forward and the good news that's come along with that.
Amen. You know, God is good, and there's a lot of wonderful things that have been happening. But I'm just going to take a step back just a little bit about the doctor and his giving me the steroid. So we had prayed. The doctor was, to my knowledge, is not saved. But he gave me the steroid that late afternoon. And I did my usual thing in the evening, watched the TV and went to bed. And then the following morning, just really hours later, the nurse came in, looked at the computer, looked at my vitals, and she said, wow, everything is normal.
Wow. And so obviously you watch God turn it around, and there's no timing like God's timing. And one of the things I love is that when God does something in his timing, it can only be good because he's good. And so sometimes we don't attribute that because we want things to happen more quickly, but God ultimately has a plan in all of this, and opportunity for doctors to see a testimony beyond just something that occurred medically is amazing. So I guess I'll just ask, how are your kidneys today, and what kind of progress has happened since that time and that moment?
Well, when I was in the hospital, as I may have mentioned, I was down to 23% functioning. After the Lord ministered to me and the healing occurred in the hospital that night, my kidney functioning went back up to 43, back up to 53, which is the baseline where I had been functioning. And now I'm functioning today at a level higher than 53. As a matter of fact, the original chronic kidney disease that I talked about that I still have is now what, for all practical purposes, we would say would be in remission, and the kidneys have begun to heal. And I just am really thankful and praise God for that, that right now I'm living a normal life.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Sometimes in order for us to get to that place that God has for us, we need to be obedient in the seasons that aren't easy. And I think there's a lot to attribute to that, just your willingness and your obedience, but of course how God showed up and honored that and showed up in your life. And so I don't know, Steve, as we go ahead and kind of conclude our conversation today, is there anything else that you would love to share with any listener just about their own situation, their own season, and maybe just some encouragement for them to bring a little bit more joy to their life as they may be going through some difficult times or difficult things?
Well, I guess the scripture that comes to mind right now is where it's an Old Testament verse, where those who had looked to different things other than El Shaddai or God Almighty for healing or whatever it was, they came to the conclusion that in turning back to God, that there was no God like El Shaddai, because he is the God who acts. He is the God who acts on behalf of those who seek after him. And so that would be my encouraging word to people, whether or not you're facing a physical illness or some other trial, that is to believe that God is a God who acts, and let him act in the way that he chooses, whether it's an instantaneous healing, whether it's a partial healing, whether it's a healing over time, whatever it is, he will still intervene, he will still act.
Well, I think that's a great way to wrap up our conversation today, and I think what's interesting is as we look at your story, God showed up and acted in all three of those ways differently at certain moments in time. He acted instantaneously, he acted through journey, and he acted just overall for you. So, Steve, I want to thank you for being a part of Cup of Joy and letting me be a part of it. It was a joy to be on Cup of Joy and be your guest host today to allow you to share your story. And so I want to thank you for chatting today, and hopefully this has been an encouragement to those who've been listening. So thank you, Steve, for being a part of it today.
So thank you, Zach, for helping with that interview. During the interview, I stated that stage 4 kidney disease was as bad as it gets. While that was true in my situation, it is actually end-stage renal kidney failure that is truly as bad as it gets. Now, this story is truly a story about God's intervention and provision, because his intervention kept my kidneys from being completely destroyed. You see, I believe that while it is God's will for us to be healed completely, I believe that in my case, a healing of the sarcoidosis and not of my CKD was for my own good. That's because, knowing myself, I am more likely to rely on God's grace and mercy than when I seem to have everything going just right. So in essence, God is drawing me closer by leaving me with total dependence on him. And what about you? Do you have a health issue that needs healing? If you believe he heals, you believe a good thing. The question is, are you praying to be healed? Are you praying consistently? Have you believed and trusted that God will provide an answer, whatever that answer is, despite what it might be? What I'd like to do right now is give you a website address of a fellowship where you can find a group of believers in Jesus Christ who believe in healing just like me. There you can learn how to link up with them and find someone who will be glad to pray with you. The address is poplarcreek.org. That's poplar, P-O-P-L-A-R, creek, C-R-E-E-K.org. I'm so glad you took the time to join me today on Cup of Joy. And know that in finding healing in God, he will respond to you, whether in body, mind, or in spirit. Thanks again for joining me, and have a blessed day.